For many, the question of whether terminally ill, mentally competent New Yorkers should be able to control their deaths with the help of a medical professional is an abstract moral and medical question. But for Assemblymember Carinas Reyes, a Bronx Democrat, the issue has real-life implications that she has seen firsthand as a registered nurse working in an oncology department, which led her to support and co-sponsor legislation billed as the Medical Aid in Dying Act. And in light of a PR campaign centered on Reyes' support for the measure, we invited her on the show to share her experience with terminally ill patients and to describe the legislative hurdles this measure needs to clear in the Capitol. Welcome back to the show, Assemblymember.
Hi, Dave. Thank you for having me.
So, as a registered nurse in the oncology department at Montefiore Einstein Hospital, what experiences have you had treating terminally ill patients?
So, I work in the inpatient wing of oncology, and I've worked both inpatient and outpatient. And my outpatient experience has been usually when patients are first diagnosed. We would treat them, of course, through their chemotherapeutic infusions, and I would do that every week. And I would build these relationships with my patients from the time that they were first diagnosed. And then in my full-time job, I would see them if they were ever hospitalized. And oftentimes they were hospitalized right after chemotherapeutic treatment because of some of the side effects, and we would treat that in an inpatient setting, whether it be giving them more fluids or treating intractable nausea or bowel obstructions. But then what I would see as time went on was kind of the decline of these patients that I had built these relationships with, and I would see them dying slowly in that process. And in the inpatient setting, sometimes they would come in after surgery because they were either having a tumor removed or they were having some kind of procedure to help mitigate some of the symptoms of their progressive cancer. And then oftentimes they would die on the floor with me. And I've realized that there are, you know, we would send them to either hospice or for palliative care, but there comes a point where it's difficult to, one, control their pain, and it's difficult to control the debilitating symptoms of the progression of the disease or of the treatment of the disease. And when I became a legislator and this issue came before us, for me it was a no-brainer because I knew so many patients who I had been at their bedside in their dying moments, who I know would have wished that their death was different. And this would create that opportunity for patients in New York to have an option in how they die.
Prior to being in that experience, did you have, I guess, a well-thought-out or even a firm position about this issue?
I have to say yes, because I've had so many patients that have said to me, I just want it to end. I just want it to end. And that suffering lasted for some days, for some months. And there was nothing that we can do. We would call them frequent flyers. Oftentimes they were in and out of the hospital. Towards that end of life period, they would have so many admissions. Sometimes we would send them off to hospice or a rehab facility or long-term care facility, and then they would come back because those facilities weren't able to manage some of their symptoms. But I already had thought about how this could be different, and if I had the ability, or if we had the ability as the medical team to provide an option, I know so many patients that would have wanted it.
But before working in a healthcare setting, before getting to know these people and seeing what the end of their lives were like, did you have a position on this issue? Did you care about it? Was it something you thought about?
Probably not such a well-thought-out position because I didn't have the experience, but I've always believed that there's a level of dignity in having agency and autonomy and making choices about your body and your life.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the word dignity, because the Catholic Church, in expressing their opposition to the measure, talk about preserving the quote-unquote dignity of human life. But I imagine for the patients that you've seen firsthand, you know, the amount of dignity that they're able to lead their lives with at that point is probably, you know, questionable and is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, how do you think about that phrase of dignity?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that dignity is in the eye of the beholder, and dignity is self-described or self-determined. And I think that in a lot of these circumstances, for terminally ill patients, they no longer feel like there is dignity in their life. It means that you, for many of them, it means that you are unable to care for yourself. You become a burden to family members. They feel like they become a burden to family members. Granted, I don't think family feels that way, but and everything that they were able to do for themselves, they no longer can do. They can't feed themselves. They can't use the bathroom by themselves. People would argue that there's no dignity in that. Right? That the dignity is really in having the choice.
You've previously expressed your confidence about the safeguards in this bill as it pertains to adequate counseling for the patient and the person's diagnosis actually being terminal. What is it about this legislation as written that makes you feel comfortable supporting it?
Well, I believe in the safeguards that I put in place. So first, nobody who's under 18 years of age qualifies for this. So you have to be 18 years of age or older. You have to have decision-making capacity. You have to have a prognosis of 6 months or less to live. So this isn't just about I want to die. It's that you will be death is imminent for you, and you have the ability to decide how you die. It also requires that it be in writing, and it has to be approved by two physicians. And there are kind of like the Patient Act, there has to be a sort of informed consent where physicians have to present to a patient all the possible options, including hospice, including palliative care, as part of their choices in their care planning.
We're discussing legislation that would enable terminally ill New Yorkers to take their own lives with the help of medical professionals, and our guest is Assemblymember Karinas Reyes, a Bronx Democrat and registered nurse who co-sponsors the bill. Over the last 2 years, this legislation hasn't gone anywhere in either house of the legislature. From your perspective, what seems to be the holdup, at least in the Assembly?
I mean, it's a very controversial issue, and it's definitely not a partisan issue. I think there are members of the majority who don't feel comfortable with this legislation based on their own personal beliefs. And I think those are some of the challenges that we have to overcome. And part of that is educating our colleagues and what it means. It is legal in other states. Like I said, the safeguards that are built into this legislation would prevent abuse or any kind of negligence. But it's hard to overcome anybody's own personal, moral, or religious beliefs. And I don't think any kind of amount of education would change their position. And those are some of the challenges that we're going to have to face. And I think it's going to take them hearing other stories, or perhaps the legislative body changing overall, for us to have the votes to get it through.
Because of the way politics works in Albany, bills don't really reach the floor in the Assembly unless there are 76 Democratic votes to pass the bill, the bare minimum needed. Where do you think you are in relationship to getting those 76 Democratic supporters for this bill? Are you near that number, or is there still a long way to go?
Well, we had about 20-something co-sponsors in the Assembly. Mm-hmm. But since then, of course, the body has changed.
Yes.
My estimates would be that we would have closer to 60 based on some of the newcomers that I would think would be supportive of this issue. So I don't know if it's something that's necessarily going to pass the assembly this year. But I think that if any time, this would be the time.
Well, it seems like what you pointed out that is the case, is that there needs to be that churn of lawmakers. And, you know, we saw dozens of new members this year. I mean, is this an issue where you feel like as you get a new and younger members, your support grows? I mean, is there a generational divide on this issue? Is it a religious divide? Where do you see that sort of support coming from in the future where you might get to the 76 Democrats?
Yeah, I think there is absolutely a generational divide, and I find it ironic because you were saying as people get older, no pun intended, and are closer to death, they would be more supportive of this issue. But that hasn't been the case. We see that usually younger members tend to be more progressive. And because we have, I think, some of the youngest legislators ever in office currently, just sworn in just last week, that I think people are more likely to be supportive of this issue. And because it's really, I really see it as an issue of dignity and justice and agency and autonomy to be able to decide. It's no different than my body, my choice. When we talk about reproductive rights, I see that in the same vein as my body, my choice. And I, people who have the mental capacity to choose and decide should be able to. And we should make it safe, right? Because it should be regulated, and it should be something that that we can control, and it happens with those safeguards in place to protect practitioners and to protect families and to protect patients.
Governor Cuomo, aside from saying that he would sign this bill if it got to his desk back in April of 2019, has been largely silent on the issue. Are you disappointed that he isn't using any of his political capital to advance this measure if he is actually supportive of it, like he says?
Yeah. I mean, but there's a lot of issues that the governor doesn't use political capital to amplify. And I don't know how much of a priority this is for him. And given the current state of affairs and everything that we've had to endure the past year with the pandemic, I think priorities have shifted for a lot of people. So I didn't anticipate that this would be on his top list of issues he would be championing this year. But I would, of course, like to see him be more vocal when it comes to this issue, particularly because it's legal in 11 other states. It's legal right next door in New Jersey. And patients oftentimes have to leave the state in order to have access to this option.
Well, we've been speaking with Assemblymember Corinas Reyes, a Bronx Democrat who is also a registered nurse. Assemblymember, thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Capitol Press Room, which you can take with you on the go wherever you download podcasts. Our engineer in Syracuse is Dave White. My producer in Albany is Tim Williams. I'm David Lombardo. Thanks for listening. Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
Join us again for Capitol Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.